This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. It's not quite Phil Collins in the air tonight, but we do get football, Jensen. Preseason football, week number one. Are they really excited about Cleveland to watch that quarterback situation?
Well, thank God we don't have to watch it tonight. We get a little respite here. We'll watch some real quarterback play that's going to transpire. Some quarterback competitions, though, in a couple of these games tonight. We'll obviously have that coming up. But you're right, buddy. It's that time to check your NFL Plus subscriptions. You'll be watching on the app on a lot of different places if games are not happening in your local neck of the woods. But hey, we got bettable opportunities and cannot wait to get it going here later tonight.
You gotta wait till Saturday there in Cleveland, but I'm sure you'll be watching other preseason NFL football in the great city of Cleveland tonight. That's for sure. Mike Palm's going to join the program as he does each and every Thursday. We'll find out what is on the mind of the maestro back home in the mothership in Las Vegas. Eduardo Perez going to be back in the program, Jensen. I know we're excited about that to talk Major League Baseball. He does a great job like you do when you moonlight over there at Sirius XM Major League Baseball Network host. And Joe Pita is going to be on the program later on this show today. If you're getting into those prediction markets here, Joe is the guy to talk to kind of give you a tutorial of how to navigate those sort of things. But Jensen, let's get right to it. Lots to get to in today's edition of our highlights and headlines. And yes, we do have week one action.
Today's highlights and headlines.
With the NFL, everything is more dramatic, Jensen, and that's what we're going to give you, the big reveal here for week one in Thursday Night Football, obviously preseason football. Hey, it doesn't count in the standings. We know that. They do keep preseason standings, I do believe. But, Jensen, what was it, the old Jimmy Johnson line? Hey, if they're going to keep score, then we're going to go try to win the game. I don't know that every team has that same mentality about whether or not it really matters if they win or lose, but you mentioned it right off the top of the show. It does feel like a lot of these teams tonight, we will see some starters out there for certain teams, Jensen, and then get heavily into those backups.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at obviously the quarterback competitions we'll be starting to highlight here. First and foremost, Colts and Patriots. Daniel Jones likely not to play here for most of the preseason, but we will get Anthony Richardson to start. We'll get Riley Leonard. And then it sounds like Shane Steichen will flip those guys for week two as far as who's going to start and then relieve. I think you had mentioned, and I know we all will find it, the headliner tonight. We get to see number one overall pick Fernando Mendoza for what should be plenty of reps, at least Clint Kubiak trying to be cagey about how many snaps that he'll take. But we would expect he should be in there for a fair amount of time. So the other ones that I'm looking for, Titans and 49ers, who in the hell's suiting up for the 49ers tonight with all the injuries and everything? Like they're going to a local grocery store trying to get guys to play in the secondary and on the wide receiver end. But I would imagine that we'll see Deshaun Stribling. Hopefully we'll see Carnell Tate amid the injury situations there. So a lot of the young kids that we'll get to see tonight. And of course, we'll be focused on those quarterback competitions as well.
And, you know, one number just to keep an eye on here, if you're betting the preseason tonight, the Raiders are up to 2.5, Jensen, against the Cardinals, which I do find interesting that that's a full line move here, a point move from 1.5 a day ago. So that's up to 2.5, and it is up to 42.5. That total keeps creeping higher and higher. You mentioned San Francisco. They're 6-point dogs tonight against Tennessee. We'll dive into those numbers here in greater detail. But interesting to see some of those, especially that Raider and Cardinal game that is on the move. We're going to get teed up here in a little bit with the FedEx Cup playoffs. Will get underway. St. Jude Classic, championship rather, will be underway. And Jensen, I did add just a couple. And these two plays that I made early this morning here, people, if you're listening out there in SiriusXM Channel 158, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, going to give these out here before these guys tee off. And again, they're going to go about, 7 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Eastern, somewhere in that vicinity here. So you've got some time to get these bets in. First round leader plays. Jensen, we were kidding with Kelly Bidlin yesterday in our group text. I don't know if this is like the worst marriage that I've gotten myself into through the years, but it is very addictive to play these markets. Not only did I play the big sweet Ludwig Åberg at minus $1.40 and Jackson Quaven at minus $1.10 for top 20s with ties throughout the vicinity of this tournament, I did play them this morning for first round leader, 33-1 in Young Jackson, 28-1 on Ludwig Åberg. And Jensen, again, this almost feels like this point, these are FOMO plays for me. In case, you know, the big sweet and or Jackson tees off first, by the way, down there. We mentioned this Memphis Heat. It is for real, Jensen. Maybe he can get out there early before that Heat really gets to the other guys.
He's the first guy off, so we'll see what Jackson Quaven does. Ludwig Åberg at 9:20 a.m. Eastern time, checking some of the heat and humidity. We are looking at a pretty firm triple-digit real feel, if you will, once that sun starts beating down in earnest. The wind is pretty decent right now, west-southwest, 9 miles an hour, gusting up to 14 miles an hour. But I think you nailed it, that guys are just going to have to weather the weather with how hot it's going to be. And it's not just today. This almost feels like a survival, not only for the tournament, but for guys trying to punch their ticket to next week as well.
And my favorite tweet that we got yesterday in conjunction with this conversation was, I think the big Swede might melt out there. Well, I hope he does not. So, Ludwig, I hope you can handle the heat. I'm sure it's a little bit different than what you were accustomed to growing up in Sweden. How about this flip? Jensen, I don't know if you're a real estate guy. You like to flip some property and make a little bit of profit. How about flipping a sports franchise? That's what it seems like Mark Walter has done. He sold the Lakers for a record-breaking $12.5 billion. Now, this is just 14 months removed from buying this interest away from the Buss family. And he said then, Jensen, this was the ownership of a lifetime to own the LA Lakers. Maybe that lifetime was just 14 months to flip it for about $2 billion in profit.
I would imagine that there are a few other extenuating circumstances that we may find out in the coming months. As we all know, Mark Walter under a federal investigation for some things that might not be on the up and up. But Dave, hey, the few times that I've had a chance to flip for a $2.5 billion profit, I have made that difficult decision to go ahead and do it. So good job by Mark Walter following some economics 101 right there. But no, here's what I'm intrigued with. He's still got the Dodgers controlling interest, and you know, we'll kind of see where things transpire here. But ultimately, to have the price tag, every owner in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, in the NFL, every owner waking up much happier today to see arguably the most iconic North American franchise as far as sports go be sold at that premium. Was it an overpay? We may never know, considering the circumstances. But as you and I like to say, rising tide lifts all boats. We love it in our industry. Oh, yeah. When one of our on-air talent brethren and brothers and sisters get paid at an exorbitant amount, that's good news for us. Every owner that owns a big-time franchise, very happy with that sale this morning.
Familiar names that are now the owners of the Lakers, Bob Iger and Josh Kushner, now are the co-owners there for the Lakers. And by the way, if you're wondering who the most profitable franchise is right now, well, earlier in the day, Sportico did value the Dallas Cowboys as the most valuable franchise in all of sports, most valuable in American sports, at least at $15.5 billion. So Jerry's not selling anytime soon. And that stock just keeps going up and away. Nine times Russell Westbrook was an all-star. He's going to retire after 18 years. I know he became kind of a lightning rod, maybe towards the end of his career when he was kind of traveling around, whether or not you really wanted him on your squad. But there was a time where Russell Westbrook was just a human triple-double each and every night, Jensen. I'm not a guy that votes in the Hall of Fame to get in the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think Russell Westbrook's going to be in it one day.
I would say so. Dave, we have wins above replacement as one of the ledgers that we grade players by, both in, you know, their time as active players and then throughout the history of the game. It really surprised. I went back on Basketball Reference and was just tell me where Russell Westbrook of all people would land. Just in the NBA rankings, it's value over replacement player. So that is their wins above replacement as far as the NBA, ABA rankings go. Just in the NBA, he is 29th all time. That kind of shocked me, considering some of the names we've had in NBA history. Dave, the active players that are above Russell Westbrook, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Stephen Curry, Nikola Jokic, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. So some heady company, a Hall of Famer, no doubt. Just a matter of, will Russell Westbrook be a first ballot Hall of Famer? But you would imagine he is destined for Springfield at some point in the future.
Yeah, I remember talking about this years ago. I never understood the angst. I get it that sometimes he can be chippy, his energy out there, and we saw it with the fans and those sort of things. So I get it from that perspective. But from on the court perspective, love watching that guy play, man. That energy that Russell Westbrook brought, not many have. The Rays have some really good energy going on right now on the ROAD. They sweep away the team with no name, the A's, city to be determined. But a 9-0 road trip, Jensen? I mean, if that was down there at the Trop, I would understand that. To do that on the road, that really bodes well if you've got a ticket on them for most wins this month, and then you got a ticket on them to win the AL East.
I love my 10-1 right now because it is a perfect 10. The only team with 10 wins so far in the month of August, your Tampa Bay Rays, 10-1. The Chicago Cubs hot on their heels, 9-2. How about San Diego sweeping away the Milwaukee Brewers? That is a big one too, because I do have the Brewers, and so we might be able to put that ticket to bed. They are 6-6 in August. So top three teams in the month of August, Tampa Bay is 10-1. Cubs are 9-2. Padres 9-3. And your Toronto Blue Jays? Hold the phone. The reports of their demise grossly over exaggerated. Going for the 4-game sweep of the suddenly vulnerable Boston Red Sox. Oh my God. Thank God you're sitting down. We're just getting started, people. Here we go.
I'm trying not to get excited, Jensen. You know me very well. All right, when we come back, let's talk about some preseason football tonight, some numbers associated. That's next, right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are excited. Football is back. Some of the best betting opportunities of the year actually start right here in the preseason of the NFL. You can sign up for VSiN Pro today. Going to get both our NFL and college football betting guides. They are packed with team previews, power ratings, and proven betting systems. Best bets from our VSiN sharpest minds and hosts right here. It's going to make you bet smarter all year long here in football season. You're also going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI power prop projections, including our new MLB player props, and totals picks. That's going to be 24/7 video access as well. VSiN Watch app. You can start for as little as $9.99 today, or get a full year, save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, it is interesting because I do think that some of the sharpest minds, as we like to say here at the network, love to dive into the preseason, because I feel like they can get those advantages. Matt Humans, I think, does an amazing job. And look, across the board, I think our network writ large does a really good job of this. I'm a little bit more skeptical, shall I say, or maybe I'm not as apt to fire on preseason as much. When you get the intel that we get, and we're going to get to some of that intel that we'll have with, say, the Falcons tomorrow night in their preseason opener against the Broncos, how do you assess that? Do you get nervy like, hey, I'm going to get these starters? But as Matt said yesterday on a program or on Tuesday, you don't know how long sometimes these starters are going to play.
Yeah, I'm not Inspector Gadget or anything. I don't go into full detective mode trying to read the tea leaves or anything. What I like to do is really, in a lot of ways, just go with like a Steve Mackinnon who does that research, has those systems, because there are so many things that are – there are so many variables that I can't account for that I usually account for and that are constants or close to it when we're in the regular season, if that makes sense, right? So for people listening, when I do spring training handicaps, I don't think I've ever really bet on any spring training game in the first 2 to 3 weeks, because you are getting so much turnover from your normal guys. They're working on stuff that doesn't really, like, if they strike out three times, they may be working on a hand placement timing for their swing. Like, they're not worried about driving the ball to right center. They may be working on mechanical things. Same thing with pitchers. It is so unpredictable. Football, these guys are actually fighting for jobs. Like, you are so truncated because you only get the quote unquote two preseason games the first 2 weeks to really audition. And then you have the dress rehearsal at the end. So, again, another great email from Bill AD. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, some great Steve Mackinnon systems will highlight coming up in Daily Docket. I've already gotten to the window on that Bears-Browns game, and I obviously do have already a couple of games in pocket for later on tonight.
Let's talk about the Falcons, because we have talked a lot about them leading up to their game tomorrow night against the Broncos. Right now I'm seeing they're about 4.5-point underdogs in this game. And Tua Tagovailoa is expected to get that start. This from new head coach Kevin Stefanski, which I think is a bit of a surprise, because I think some people thought, uh-oh, how hurt is Tua? Is he going to miss some time? Well, looks like he's going to get that nod tomorrow night. Here's what he had to say about both of his quarterbacks, both left-handed and both fighting for that job to start week one of the regular season.
Where we are at this moment with the quarterback position in mind, I would tell you they've knocked it out of the park. From a preparation standpoint, these guys are on top of it, learning the new system, understanding what's important on each given play. So I'm very pleased with where we are. I just know in the calendar where we are, we're not yet there yet in terms of naming somebody a starter.
Yeah, cool to see Sarah Walsh. She used to work with her in D.C., a courtesy there of NFL Network. But, Jensen, when I hear that, and you know Kevin Stefanski very, very well, he says these guys are pros. That's what I gather. No disrespect to maybe some of the guys he had in Cleveland. But I feel like he's like, hey, these guys are prepared. They know what to do. And they're doing the required work and kind of above and beyond that. Do you take anything away from a guy that I'm sure you heard numerous times through the years in Cleveland?
Kevin doesn't really give away anything. He is a master at coach speak. And that's exactly what that was right there. A whole lot of nothing. And that's okay. Clint Kubiak did it yesterday. A whole lot of nothing. And actually, he even went a step further of saying, yeah, we're going to have guys play. No reason to tell you guys, you know, how much or how little. Perfect. Thank you. We established it from the start. Got it. No right. worries. I'm not going to ask about it again. So you'll find out when we find out. That's usually what I take away from when coaches talk, especially early in the preseason.
I think my favorite one, I might have shared this with you decades ago, was Mike Shanahan when I was covering that team in Washington, D.C. And he said, I'm not going to tell you guys the truth. I'll tell you what you need to know. And it was bizarre. It's like, all right, I'm going to lie to you guys, but I'll tell you some things. Like, all right, I guess we can start with that framework. But that's exactly what you're alluding to here. Coaches are going to tell you what they want you to know, and that might not necessarily be the truth. Now, Michael Penix, we've been waiting to see how his leg is going to look. Well, if you hear from Michael Penix, Jensen, not only is his leg fine, he might be like this version of a modern-day Superman. Let's hear from the talented yet fragile Falcons quarterback.
Like I said in that podcast, like, the doctors did what they needed to do. So I have an amazing ACL. I went and saw the doctor, you know, before camp started. He's like, this is an amazing ACL. He's like, you should never have any more knee problems for the rest of your career. Like, that's word for word what he told me. So it's like, okay, I hear that. But it's like, all right, now I'm like, all right, do I trust that? And, you know, so it's just more so is like just having that confidence in it, you know, and not worrying about it, because, like, injuries happen in football, but, like, at the same time, you don't want it to happen again. So it's like, all right, I got to get out of my mind, what if it happened again, and just go out there and just play, you know?
Man, I got to tell you, Jensen, I find myself rooting for this young man back to his Indiana days and obviously before the transfers and everything else. And we saw him shine at Washington. And I said fragile quarterback because he's been dinged up every step of the way, right? Hurt at Indiana, you know, makes it through with Washington, looks great, and then hurt again with Atlanta. Now, he says that the doctor tells him he should never have another knee injury. Well, yeah, if you're not playing professional football and not taking shots on your leg. I hope it's an amazing super ACL, whatever you want to, MCL, whatever you want to call it, Jensen. But, man, the track record with a guy like Michael Penix and his leg, I don't want to see that smile come off his face. But can you trust it just because the doctor says, yeah, you got an amazing ACL? It's better than most ACLs I've ever seen.
For our people in the legal realm, in the insurance business that are listening and watching, I could feel your collective, like, call just went right to that doctor's office and say, don't ever say that again. Don't ever say that again. You want to go to 99%? That's fine. We have the 1% get out of jail free card. Bottom line, when we have these, you know, quarterbacks coming off these kinds of injuries, rarely will we see them early. I think coaches take so much more out of the practices, especially the joint practices, where you can still do the timing, but you can't hit the quarterback. You know, you can't physically get near it. If you've watched the first couple of weeks here of Hard Knocks with Mike McDonald getting all over some of his defensive guys for getting too close to the quarterback, a big reason why. Not that Sam Darnold's hurt or anything, but we don't need a stupid injury, you know, when we're going against ourselves. When it's in the joint practice, you have some control over that. But I do think in these preseason games, if we see anything from a starting quarterback, and this doesn't go just for the Falcons, I've talked about the Colts with Daniel Jones, like, you're going to see a lot of these head coaches not put their injured quarterbacks or quarterbacks coming off of injury in any sort of harm's way in these first couple of weeks of the preseason.
I made that bet. It was quarterback independent. And remember, I told you that when I made that a couple months ago here. To me, it didn't matter if it was Tua or Michael Penix. I really do like Michael Penix. I just need these guys healthy. And I hope either one, because I do like the offense that Kevin Stefanski is going to have and the weapons there. But you got to make sure you got healthy and hopefully a good ACL for Michael Penix. I'm rooting for the young man, that's for sure. How about this from Ben Johnson? This was interesting. You know, we don't hear coaches actively say they're trying to break a record. But here's what Ben Johnson said as the head coach here, second year for the Chicago Bears. You've got 31 other teams coming to training camp saying our goal is to win the Super Bowl. And I want more than that. More than the Super Bowl. I want to have the highest scoring offense ever, which happens to be the 2013 Denver Broncos. I know how many points per game they scored, 37.9. And I want to surpass them. I want shutouts. I want blowouts. Okay, Ben, I've done the homework, Jensen. I know what those Broncos did with some guy named Peyton Manning at the helm. I know they were scoring almost 38 points per game, and that's my goal. Super Bowl is great. But I want to have the scoring, the best and highest scoring offense ever. Is that a guy, Jensen, that's known for his offensive wizardry, who's saying, I want to be that guy as the head coach of the best offense of all time. Little ego feels like it's involved there.
I'm here for it. And to know what you've already suffered injury wise there for the Bears, why not? If you got to win some shutouts, go right for it. But I think this is more indicative of what Ben Johnson has felt with the development of Caleb Williams year over year, with the offensive weaponry they have coming back and the synergy there. He built that offensive line last year for a reason. It remains largely intact. And now that they have had that full year, that full offseason under this system, I think sky's the limit for that offense, no question about it.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Ryan Poles, too, for bringing in the acquisitions to give Ben Johnson that offensive line that you're alluding to there. That was huge. We talked about it last year on this very program. That's why I liked them last year. Don't know if I like them as much this year. Ben, I hear you, but maybe the Super Bowl would be a better goal. It feels like an Ohio State. Beat Michigan or win the national championship. Which one's more important to you? Let's break down tonight's preseason slate. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Preseason football is back, and it is time to book that trip to Vegas if you have not done so already. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they're going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make those picks from anywhere you might be residing in this great country of ours. So just one trip out to Las Vegas. Play all season long. Schedule your appointment now, winnercircleproxy.com. Are you prepared? I'm hearing the boys back in Vegas can tell us, what, 110, 120? Look, I'm used to that, like, from being there for 5 years living out there in the desert. Jensen, you're Cleveland, Ohio blood. When you get off the tarmac, are you going to be like, whoa, we're not in Cleveland anymore?
Well, hopefully we're not, and hopefully we are in Las Vegas when they take us where they're taking us. But yeah, we're okay. I'm looking at forecasted highs of 106 by the time we get there on later on Friday. Now, that's 106 just the temperature. The real feel, I'm sure, will be a little bit more than that, but that's okay. As far as I know, still some great air conditioning there at Circa Las Vegas, and that's all we care about. And the Sphere. The Sphere, I hear, is air conditioned as well, so we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, you're not in Europe, so you should be just fine getting out there, in Las Vegas. Let's get to tonight's preseason slate that we have in the NFL. I mentioned that some of these numbers have been on the move. I can understand why the Lions and Bengals, it's up to 6.5 here for Cincinnati. What's interesting there is that total is still relatively low at 37.5. And let's start right there, because we had JVT on the program yesterday, and he's leaning back towards Detroit. And kind of getting what we're talking about here, Jensen, you're playing that guessing game. How long are they going to play Joe Burrow? Is it literally just one series? And if it goes great, wonderful. And if it doesn't, that's fine too. It's hard to deduce some of those things. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not crazy about laying 6.5 in a preseason game.
Yeah, I won't touch this game. And it sounds like we will get a series from the starters for the Bengals. So I can understand why that number was where it was and is here still this morning. According to Tim Twentyman, what a name for a senior writer. Tim Twentyman,
Shout
out to you, my friend, at DetroitLions.com. Again, all about the rookie debuts here for the Detroit Lions. It sounds like Dan Campbell says he does plan on playing the first round selection. Blake Miller has taken most of the first team reps at right tackle. Remember, number 17 overall pick. Some ups and downs there, but again, it sounds like him going up against Aiden Hutchinson every day in camp has looked really good thus far. Drew Petzing coming in now, the new OC there for the Lions. First opportunity to call plays in games. So again, this isn't just first time around for the NFL rookies. When you get new play callers, both on the offensive and defensive side, their first time for cadence, getting the play. I mean, how many times do we see getting the plays in to these quarterbacks and most likely the backups there? So, all those different things to watch. No play for me on Lions Bengals, Dave, but definitely like to see where the Bengals first teamers are just in that first series.
I'm glad you brought up Drew Petzing, who's going to be the new OC now in Detroit. Remember, Johnny Morton had that role this time last year, and everybody said, oh, this is going to be seamless. Johnny's was already there. You're bringing in Drew now from Arizona. And I got to tell you, that's a concern for me. For a guy like Dan Campbell, who fired Johnny Morton when things were going really well at the beginning of last year, and then Dan took over the play calling duties, it did not go well. So I don't know what this is going to look like here with this new terminology. And as you mentioned, first time doing it here under that umbrella, certainly in Detroit. So I'm assuming he's going to have a much longer hook than Johnny Morton did, which really did surprise me a year ago. And I thought it was one of those reasons why they started to tailspin a little bit. Keep an eye on that early in the year if that offense does not look like we all expect that offense to look like in Detroit. How about the Packers and the Steelers? The Packers are an interesting team because obviously we know they're going to be waiting on Micah Parsons to come back maybe week 6 of the regular season. You do lose your DC a year ago. Now he's the head coach down there in Miami. You lose your assistant GM. A lot of eyes going to be on LaFleur and Love this year. And I wonder, Jensen, if you're always kind of looking for the identity of the Packers going into a year like this. The Steelers, we know what it is. It's always been defense first. Now that might change with a different Mike. Big Mike. Mike McCarthy now instead of Mike Tomlin, maybe that identity changes. But for the Packers, are we looking at depth at that quarterback room? Because you got to remember Malik Willis, who's now in Miami as well. People are starting to clamor for him to be the starter when things didn't look great for Jordan Love coming off injury.
Matt LaFleur saying Jordan Love is expected to start. Matt LaFleur saying he does value preseason snaps for the process and timing. So again, to each their own for each head coach. Mike McCarthy is pushing for Aaron Rodgers to play potentially 30 to 40 snaps across the early preseason games. We'll see what happens there. As you know, Aaron Rodgers, sage veteran, has downplayed the value of preseason football for many, many years. Does that mean we get Mason Rudolph? Do we get some Will Howard, maybe some Drew Aller? We'll wait and see on that. Dave, a couple of plays that I did play, and a lot of these off of what Steve Mackinnon has done such a fabulous job of being able to account for. One of the trends he gave us, not only early this week, but I think maybe at the end of last week, when you're looking at conference foes, with a total of 37 or higher, the under has been hitting in these week one preseason games upwards, I believe, 65 to 68%. So this is a blind tale of Steve Mackinnon here today. Colts, Patriots, under 38.5. That number, I believe, has come down just a little bit. Check my numbers if you can on that one. But it does sound like it's going to be Anthony Richardson for a half starting for the Colts. And then we will see some Riley Leonard. I would not imagine the Patriots play any of their starters from what I've heard about from Mike Vrabel. So love the underplay and tailing Steve Mackinnon on that trend in and of itself.
It is down to 37.5 right now. Just a little bit to the over at minus -1.12, and the Patriots getting 3 points. And again, if you're backing the Pats tonight, get ready to get a little Tommy DeVito back in there. Hey, forget about it. You're going to see a lot of Tommy under center if you're backing the Patriots tonight, grabbing that three. But very quickly, just an aside, Jensen, with that game in specifics, is there ever been a coach that's more excited about preseason football than Mike Vrabel to talk about anything else other than the offseason? I know he's got to be chomping at the bit to just get back out there and play football again.
Absolutely. Let's get out there. Let's go do what we got to do. And let's go hit someone else that's not wearing our own colors. I think that's the same that can be said here for the LA or the Vegas Raiders, right? Because I know Matt Eumanns really likes the Raiders spot here, laying 1.5. I am on the other side here. I like the Cardinals. Remember that other Steve Mackinnon trend. When you play in the Hall of Fame game and you lose, the last four consecutive teams to have that happen have not only won straight up, but have covered ATS as well. So I'll take a blind tail there of the Cardinals plus 1.5. That under trend is also in play here too, Dave. I like where we're at on the under 41.5. Yes, we'll get a lot of Fernando Mendoza here tonight. Always interested to see how the NFL speed is for him. And I also like the part that the Cardinals are playing their starters. We will get Jacoby Brissett. We are going to get that first team unit, that first team offensive line out there. So I do think that we have an opportunity for the Cardinals side to be very live here tonight.
It's up to the Raiders are up to 2.5. They're taking a little bit of money here as we get closer and closer. And you know, I did this last week in the Hall of Fame game where I teased the Cardinals up and that got home for me. I might be looking at that, Jensen, and tease that Cardinals up to 8.5 again. I know teasing preseason football, but I'm considering that after going 1-0 last week in that one. I mentioned guys that are looking at, hey, if they're keeping score, we're going to go try win. And that always feels like the Harbaughs. That's the way that they're John and Jim are kind of wired this way a little bit. We talked about the great streak that John had for a long time there in Baltimore, where he just felt like they were never going to lose a preseason game. What about Jim's bunch going out there? And what's interesting here is you have two old school coaches here at the helm here for H-Town and for the Chargers here. So defense could actually be in vogue for a preseason game here.
Yeah, well, we'll see, right? A lot of backups in this one, too. And, you know, thinking about where the Chargers are already looking for Justin Herbert, I saw some clips of Mike McDaniel and some sound bites between him and Jim Harbaugh. What a difference a quarterback can make
in the
throwing arm of Justin Herbert. I saw Mike McDaniel. I don't know if he stopped smiling and talking about, I can't believe that he put that ball where he did. It was incredible to watch and see some of the reaction already. I know you're very high on this team. Obviously, we won't see the starters here for the Chargers. But man, oh, man. Two teams with some big aspirations now. You know, D'Amico Ryans and company not liking the way they finished last year. I know C.J. Stroud looking for bounce back. No play for me on this one, but certainly a keen eye on how Mike McDaniel now will be back in the OC role, being able to call plays with this Charger offense.
It's the best odd couple pairing I've ever seen since Felix Unger and Oscar Madison. That's going to be Harbaugh and McDaniel. That's going to be appointment television. By the way, one of the game, if they're healthy enough to field a team, San Francisco is getting 4.5 against the Titans. We kind of joke about this one, Jensen, but good. I mean, it's just been a mash unit here, paging Hawkeye and Pierce for San Francisco.
Yep. Carnell Tate, John Stribling. Those are my two guys to watch if indeed they do make their debuts there tonight.
Absolutely love it. When we come back, let's talk some more NFL football here. To hear from Travis Kelce later on in this program. And also Kurt Cignetti. Talk some college football. Indiana, are they really thinking about a repeat? Of course they are. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We'll be heading out to Las Vegas here in the next hour. Catch up with the maestro, Mike Baum, see what is on his mind today. But, Jensen, we know there's other things than just football on the mind of Travis Kelce. We're always curious what's on the mind of Kurt Cignetti. We'll get to all that in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Some people here at the network are very bullish on the Kansas City Chiefs, so much so they've got some tickets on them to win the Super Bowl this year. You would know that information, obviously, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to our NFL betting guide. Now, did Travis Kelce have something, Jensen, go on this summer that I'm not aware of? Was there some big seminal moment in his life? Apparently, what they do, sell out Madison Square Garden, shut down New York City for a day. Oh, for a wedding. So, Jensen, I think it's fair game for the reporters to ask Travis Kelce about the biggest day of his life. Let's hear that Q&A from Travis in the media.
It was a fun offseason, man. Wedding was the best night of my life. And I appreciate everybody who came out and celebrated and, had fun with us. And, that's about all I really got from that night. It was a crazy night. It was full of a lot of celebration, but... it's football, baby. You know, I still got a lot of love for this game. You know, I still think I can go out and play at a high level, and I want to go out there and prove myself that I can play at a better level than I did last year. And I think that's probably the biggest thing for me is making sure that I'm accountable for the guys in this room and every single play that I'm out there.
I mean, it became a running joke, right? How many cutaways would you get of Taylor Swift at a Chiefs game, right? And, that's what you do if you're a director, if you're a network out there. You want to try to get eyeballs. And when you're married to arguably one of the biggest stars in the world, that's going to draw attention. But I guess the question remains here, Jensen. He says he's focused on football. He says he's got to be accountable now to the other guys in that locker room. This does kind of feel like a retirement party to a degree. I know he doesn't want to say that and won't say that, but where are you on Travis Kelce as far as a viable player with a team that, again, a lot of people have very high expectations for?
Yeah, this feels last dance for me. By the way, I'm much more a Madison Beer person than a Taylor Swift. I knew Taylor Swift before she was the big star. She stood with us there at the Vanderbilt Stadium. I've told you that story where she was one of the up and comers in the industry trying to make it big. Good job for you, T. Swift. But looking at Kansas City, and again, I don't think that they have the class of the division like squad like they've had in years past. And we still need to know that Patrick Mahomes is back in 100%. But yeah, it does feel like Travis Kelce, will he be a part of this offense? Yes. Will he be a big part of it? Remains to be seen. If it is the way that Eric Bieniemy has run it in the past, then I think the first 2 to 3 weeks tells us a lot about the effectiveness of what Travis Kelce will be in this offense. Because, Dave, you have two home games, one against the arch rival in this division right now in Denver. You have an Indianapolis Colts defense that's been pretty solid. Then you go on the road against Miami, which is trying to find their way into, being the Green Bay Packers of Miami with everyone they brought from Wisconsin. To that end, I know a lot of people at the network high on Kansas City. I'm not. I do have them in as a wild card team, but I will need to see a bit of not only health, but I will need to see continuity, because Dave, this receiving core is still one that needs to prove themselves, and they will have opportunities to do it against some softer defenses in Miami and Las Vegas before they hit an absolute patch of debauchery with the Chargers on the road at the Seahawks and on the road in Mile High. So a lot of this first half of the season, I think there's a lot to prove here for Kansas City. No question about it.
They are the betting favorite to win their division, plus $1.60 right now to win the West. Remember, last year is the first year under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback that did not happen. So I can understand why people might be eager to run back to the window there. 16-1 is as long as you've seen on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So I get where people are playing that numbers game. What about the idea of the media not asking Travis anymore about the wedding or Taylor Swift, where he's kind of setting those guardrails, right? Of, hey, weddings happened. You guys all saw it. We shut down New York City. But now you can't ask me about it anymore, Jensen. Now we got to be about football. Is that fair for an athlete to tell the media this is the guardrails here and we cannot press any longer on that topic?
I believe it's the NDA that everyone had to sign because I think rumored that Netflix will have the documentary of the wedding. I won't watch it. I don't care. what I do care about, though, is what we're going to find with this group early and you know, whether they are on the same page early. I think the Bieniemy part, though, is something to kind of hang your hat on. This guy has known how this offense can really be maximized. He's been great with personnel. So I think the Chiefs have a lot to prove here early on. And that's, I mean, I'll throw it back to you with this idea. Would you rather want to use Kansas City early in Survivor if you have to save them for, I mean, I don't know if I want to play them on the road in Buffalo on Thanksgiving. Yes, I know you have to hold teams to use in the Thanksgiving week, but I don't want to use a road team there with Buffalo. I don't think I want to do that. I would definitely look at them at Miami. I would definitely look at them in a division game against the Raiders, albeit the Raiders do play them very tough regardless of that team. Interesting scheduling spot for where you'd want to use the Chiefs, no?
Oh, yeah. I want no part of them against the Bills on Thanksgiving. I love the Bills in that spot. Again, we'll find out if injuries and those sort of thing, what the team look like at that point. But right now, on paper, I'd lick my chops on the Bills side. I'm with you, man. I don't care about that. I do not care about celebrity fame and marriages and all that stuff. I do know this. It can be a problem in locker rooms. It can. And I know people are going to say on the outside, oh, it doesn't affect you. You haven't been inside those locker rooms. It absolutely does. Divas, I've seen them firsthand, Jensen. They can be very problematic if you can't play anymore. Now, I'm not saying he can't play anymore, but if he can't, it will be a problem. We know Kirk Cignetti can coach. I don't think anybody's ever going to doubt whether or not Kirk Cignetti is licking his chops at the prospects of maybe repeating in the Big Ten and repeating as national champions. Because why? Everybody's going to tell him he can't do it. Right, he loves when people tells him, whether it's at JMU or at Indiana or anywhere else, that you can't do this job. And he's got a passion for it, Jensen. Let's hear what motivates the great Kurt Cignetti.
Every once in a while, I'll interject during a game. But maybe I'll bring something out, 10 plays, what do you guys think? And 8 of them, they'll say no. And I say, okay. But there might be 2 of them there they like, you know what I mean? And so this is what I love to do. You know, I don't golf anymore. I don't jog anymore. You know, I don't hunt, ski, fish. I'm a football coach. I always wanted to be a football coach. This isn't what all football coaching is all about, but it's a big part of it.
You know, I can relate to my own, from when I was a kid, Jensen, I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. Like, literally, that's what I knew I wanted to do when I was 7 years old. And sometimes when you get to where you want to be in life, he doesn't care about all the other stuff. He wants to coach football. You look at the schedule, if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube television, it's tough. It's a Big Ten. You're the reigning defending. You're going to have the bullet and the target on you, Jensen. I don't think he wants it any other way.
I think Josh Hoover has a lot to prove. I'm really wondering, not only you talk about pressure in on the NFL side, if this is it for Travis Kelce, those guys in that locker room know that this could be it for a lot of the old guard, if you will, that has made that franchise into a dynasty. I think that stepping in for a Heisman Trophy winner, I don't give a damn what university you're at, is as big a pressure point as you could have. And Josh Hoover's going to have to show early. Now, you have 3 dress rehearsals before you get into Big Ten play. They should have no problem with North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky. Northwestern is finally going to be a step up in weight class. Then you go to a Rutgers team. I don't know about you, Dave, but they got some offensive weapons there at Rutgers. Don't think for a moment that you're not going to get the best from the Jersey boys. They are going to absolutely sell out because that's the game that they could absolutely hang offensively if, you know, the Hoosiers have a Penn State performance like they did last year. They let a team hang around. They kind of play with their food a bit. But let's be honest. It's the back-to-back against Ohio State and Michigan. That's the season there for Indiana. You have got to hold serve at home, and then you have to have no emotional letdown going to the Big House. If you can survive that task and be able to take care of business there in those 2 weeks, you are a prime candidate to repeat. And that is where Kurt Cignetti has probably got his eyes at the moment. No, as a coach, he doesn't look past any opponent, but that's the motivation for the guys is if you think what we did last year is going to repeat itself, you got a whole nother thing coming. You got to go out and do it even better and cleaner than what you did in 2025.
Dick Vermeil was the first guy I ever heard about coach burnout. Remember that with the Eagles? And certainly I had the privilege of covering Joe Gibbs 2.0 in D.C. when he came back to the Redskins. Those guys are lifers, man. It feels like Kurt Cignetti might be on that track as well. And Indiana, buckle up, baby, because last year is done, to Jensen's point. When we come back, we got a lot to get to. If you want some plays before we fire off the St. Jude, I got some for you. That's next right here.